I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. No, this voice is not a scam. I am back. Yeah.
Can you at least tell them what edition it is, please?
This is the Manchester United edition, and that's why I'm laughing, because I have some thoughts, I have some feelings, but before we get into that, I am Tosin. I am here, as I exist in real life, and with me is Coach, the handsome Coach. How you doing, man?
It's Ramadan, man, so I'm just trying my best to not swear and stuff. I think the last pod we recorded, I lost my head at the end of it, basically, so I'm trying to behave today.
Yeah, please be on your dean. I'm going to encourage that. This is going to be a family-friendly podcast. I'm observing Ramadan in my own way, so I'm going to make sure he's on his dean as well. But now it's so good to sit here and talk to my brother about my club. Manchester United Football Club. Let's get straight into it. Let's talk about the lineups. Man United went with the same lineup that they did against Liverpool, that epic 4-3 with Brentford, the lineup in their usual 3-5-2. Tony and Wissup Sop, midfield of Jensen, Yanel, and Yamaluk, Lewis Potter on the left, Ross Lev on the right, Jorgensen, Ayer, and Nathan Collins in the back. Wasn't really shocking that United stuck with that. I mean, Casemiro was coming back from injury. Lissandro coming back from injury. And they both showed that they both come back from injury. Yeah. Unfortunately, Lindelof got hurt. Maguire came in, who's also come back from injury. So the lineups weren't really a shock, per se. I think it was just also one of those things where you just realized that, you know, it's crunch time, man. Like,
It's all about rhythm now, man. So, but I'll be honest with you, though, like, Brentford do have some key injuries. I mean, their best defender, Pinnock, you know, we're not going to see him until sometime next season. But, you know, their results at home have been so bad that I feel like going for what works best for them in terms of their shape and not changing too much is probably the best thing that they can do. But, yeah, I think overall, just on the balance of what you're expecting from Brentford, United had, I suppose, no real obligation to try and make a specific special game plan from Brentford. It's just that it's United, basically. It's United in 2024. It's been United for the last 2 years, in fact. Regardless of who they're going to put out, I feel as if the team that they're playing against, home or away, is always going to feel as if there's a chance there. And there's been some bright sparks. And I know we're going to get into him, but I suppose we might as well get into him now. Mainly.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Manu, because he seems to be the only real shining light, but at least the second half of the season for United so far. So
I think in order to talk about Kobbie Mainoo, you have to talk about Man United's academy in general. That is one of the best academies in the world.
Production land, man.
One of the things about, you know, Man United's academy, it produces professional players. They might not play at Old Trafford, but they will get a good chance in the professional game. Look at Tendon Mengi at Luton. He's incredible for Luton. Tahith Chong, the same thing. You see United players littered everywhere. I mean, the kid from Everton, why is his name?
Garner.
Yeah. So United players are everywhere. Kobbie Mainoo is just a special talent. I mean, if you know some, you know, if you follow some United accounts, not remember his name, but I'm sure I'll put it here somewhere. He's a United Youth Academy Twitter account, and not Youth United, because that guy is something else. But okay. He tweeted about Kobbie Mainoo like years ago when he was 11 years old and said the kid is special. And you know, there's some players, you know, and like that's what scouts get paid to do. You can tell when a player is special. I was gonna say, like, some players are special. Kobbie is one of those players that, like, it was inevitable he's gonna be in the first team. He's got a good head on his shoulders. The kid is incredible on the ball. I think the difference between Kobbie Mainoo, you see it in United's midfield today. He's the only calm one. When you look at Bruno Fernandes and you look at Scott McTominay, their head is lost. They always want to rush and they don't know how to control. And like Hobie's a special kid. There's a reason why he's going to the Euros with England. There's a reason why he started for England and Gareth Southgate was dropped his jaw. The kid is just a really talented player. I know some people are, you know, last week were bringing up his stats and like saying this and that. Why is he here for United?
That's just whatever, man.
Just watch the game. The kid is special. The kid is like England's first goal, Ivan Toney's first England goal is because of him. He dropped his shoulder, found
But that's the thing. I think a lot of people aren't really, and I suppose United fans aren't really familiar with United producing that sort of midfielder, or even just having that midfielder, even if they're going to buy a midfielder that's in Kobbie Mainoo's mold. I think over the years, United haven't, I feel like a broken record here, but I just feel like United haven't had that sort of midfielder in such a long time, and it's been rare in the last God knows how many years that United have had that sort of midfielder.
Who's
comfortable, you know, between the lines, you know, who's comfortable, you know, who's back to goal, who is, who offers a calm presence, but also who can actually carry the ball, you know, and can combine as well. It's such a rare thing for United to have that sort of midfielder, and it feels as if now that they have one of those now, I'm not saying he's been overburdened, but
I feel like
there's a danger of it happening
relatively quickly.
If we're just looking at, I suppose, statistically and just, I suppose, the types of profiles we have, without even looking at stats, you really know Kobbie Mainoo has a better pass completion than McTominay and Bruno and Casemiro and whoever else United put in midfield. That is such a huge responsibility to have at 18 years old at Man United. And I don't feel Ten Hag is anywhere near close to figuring out how to spread around that sort of, not just creative burden, but the actual burden of being responsible for the build-up as well. It's such a delicate thing to do, because you want to give him minutes, but you also don't want to burn him out. You don't want to make him, I suppose, the centerpiece, because he's 18 years old and it's Man United. You know, it's fair enough. If he was doing this for Tottenham, different story. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is, but it's United. There's expectation levels are so high for whatever reason, that sooner or later the boy is going to need help. Has he signed a new contract yet?
Nah, he signed one a couple years ago, but he's fine. He's in talks. They're gonna figure it out.
Okay.
To go back on your point, and I tweeted this last week, and I'm sure I probably deleted it because I don't care. I delete my tweets. It is what it is. When I look at Jude Bellingham, right, I think Jude is supreme talent, but Jude went to a great situation. He went in a midfield that has Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, as old as they are, they're still great players. Yeah. He's surrounded by Camavinga. He's surrounded by Tchouameni. And he's also surrounded by Valverde. You go into Man United's midfield, right? No offense to Scott McTominay. It's hard to make it at a professional level. Like, coming from the academy, your chance to make it from the academy to the first team is 0.5. Like, it's at barely a percentage point. Yeah. And Scott McTominay's played over 200 games for Man United. That is a feat in itself. So congratulations for Scott for that. 200
games. Flipping out.
Yeah, over 200. Not 200, over 200 games, right? Yeah. So there's no offense to Scott for that, right? That is an amazing feat to do, because very few players do that from the academy to the first team, playing over 200 games. However, with that said, United's midfield has one quality player, and that is Kobbie Mainoo. Casemiro's legs have gone. Casemiro in his prime is one of the best defensive midfielders of all time. I don't care what you say.
United got sold a turkey. Like, Real Madrid knew exactly what they were doing. So
yeah. So Casemiro's legs are gone. Bruno Fernandes is a head loss in midfield. Sufyan Amrabat did not pan out well. And this is no offense to these players. You know, the football's hard. You know, there's a lot of situations that we don't know what's going on. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any of these guys whatsoever. But what I am saying is that when you look at the nucleus of Maynard's midfield, Kobbie Mainoo is probably the only quality player. And to go back to Jude, to tie it, what I want to say is that you have to surround quality players with quality players. And it happened to Pogba. When Pogba was at Juventus, the reason why Pogba did well
was their midfield was just stupid, though, man.
He had Vidal, Marquisio, Pirlo. Yeah. So you have to surround quality around quality. I think this summer, what Maynard needs to do is generally buy, like, quality midfield players and also integrate some of the young academy players. There's and the thing is, where football is right now, there's so many quality players, and there's so many players who, you know, if I at say something...
Sorry to cut you there, but at United's academy, there's probably a couple more that are going to need some minutes if United are not going to go to market. I just feel as if, again, inevitably you're going to have to go to market. But 100%. There's one more. I forgot which one it is. It's one of Fletcher's boys.
Yeah, it's probably Jack.
Yeah, I think it is Jack. I think it is Jack. But at some point he's going to need some minutes in the next year or two as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we got a whole entire production line.
At Gore as well. Oh my days! I'm just remembering.
You said who?
Gore.
Daniel Gore is really good. Yeah. There's also Jacob Davini who trained with the first team. Zachary Bauman, who's also there. So there's a lot of talented players. I mean, you know, Shea Lacy's another one who's sort of like in the folding mode. So there's a lot of talented players. And I think that, like, even when you go to market, there's a lot of talented players. Like, for example, someone like Maxine Kakare. Like, I still believe in Kakare's talent. I do as well.
But again, he's the sort of player that he can't buy him on his own. It's going to be a package job. You don't put him into this United midfield without some security, or else again,
100%.
You're gonna have some similar issues.
What do you think about, before we move on quickly, what do you think about Andre Onana to United? I like Onana, but I don't think I want
to
spend that much.
I won't lie to you. I don't want him to go to United because I want him to come to Arsenal. That's all I think about that situation.
I said Andre Onana. I meant Amadou Onana. So yeah. Which, by the way, shout out to Andre Onana. He played very well today.
We'll get to him. But you know, just to round off your point about bringing these players in and around quality, there's very few players that I can think of that young players that have come into a big team and thrived almost immediately that didn't have the stewardship of these fantastic players that were already there. You know, if we want to go back all the way to like Fabregas, right? Fabregas made his debut in the Invincible season, but nobody really heard of him. But he's in there training with Vieira, Jaboto in midfield, and Edu. Ray Parlour, those are the guys that he's training with at 16 years old.
Grown men
that have won the World Cup, that have performed everywhere that they've been at the highest level. You know, like, imagine
grown men who pay mortgages and take care of kids.
Exactly. Can you imagine learning off someone that used to dog walk, flipping Lampard and Gerrard? Like, that's the kind of education that he had. And Mainu, unfortunately, seems to be the headmaster in that midfield, which is It's really unfair, basically.
And that's what happened to Marcus Rashford. I don't care what anyone says. Marcus is supremely talented, but Marcus had to be a grown man at 18 to main at his team. And you're seeing that now. It's just like United generally in the summer need to really figure out, like, what are we doing in this midfield? By the way, to go back to my point, the guy who I was talking about with the United Youth account is JB8521. He knows all, like, the United young players. So that's another, like, you know, if you're a United fan, you want to look at, you know, young talents who's coming through. JB8521 is the guy I was talking about earlier.
But
let's talk about the balance of the game, because it is, I think,
how bored are you? Tell me, really, how bored are you?
I legit fell asleep like 3 or 4 times watching that game. Everything I love, I legit was on my couch falling asleep. I promise you not. And it was frustrating because it's just like, it's the same pattern over and over again. I'll give you a funny example of what I knew United was just like, you know, tactically, and like, you know, we're not doing well. I was in Palm Springs on vacation, and I was watching Arsenal play against Sheffield United, and this one Arsenal gave them a proper lashing. One of those things where, like, you know, when you're a bad kid, your dad sends you to your room, and one of those sort of weapons, that's what Arsenal gave them. I'm in my hotel room watching this game, looking at the TV like, huh, this is the same team United struggled to beat 2-1, right? And patterns show throughout the whole entire season. This is the same thing that happened against Sheffield United is happening now. United don't have any they lack urgency when they're trying to drive forward. And I'm not trying to ride Arsenal and like trying to be a fanboy. I genuinely love football. So for me, what I'm trying to say is that when I look at Arsenal, right, there's a lot of intent when they have the ball.
Yeah.
They know how to get the ball quickly. They know how to move in transition. The fullbacks over. Arsenal is what they're doing in the ball.
Yeah.
But United is like, if Rashford's not playing, we're going to give him a 2-1. We're going to, you know, when Rashford has the ball, it's like you want him to take on two players at one time. It doesn't work like that. Bruno's not speeding up the game. Scott McTominay is nowhere to be seen. And again, it goes back to Kobbie Mainoo. Kobbie's 18 years old, drowning in the midfield, trying his best because a bunch of grown men in front of him aren't doing their thing. You have Garnacho trying to be on the same flank as Rashford. I don't know if that was tactics or not, but the game state was really bad. And Brentford immediately, like, after all, Brentford's like, we're taking advantage. Apparently, according to Thomas Frank, well, he said this is the most shots ever in the Premier League game, and they only scored one. So United got lucky. Onana had played out of his skin. Unfortunately, you know, again, we'll get to that later, but Aaron Wan-Bissaka, man, like, I'm sorry, he can't run at United no more. It's not a player that United needs to keep at that club. And
yeah, I mean, if we're gonna talk about individuals, I think that's fair enough. But I feel like the buck stops with Ten Hag at this point.
100%.
Every game week, United seem to be, and I feel like this is just a real sign of what is happening. You can listen to any of the United edition pods on the Shirtless Plantain Show for the last 3 months, and I guarantee you will find me saying almost the exact same thing almost every episode for like a good 5-10 minute period. You know, when I'm not talking about the actual game itself, I'm talking about the problems that United face every week. They seem to be the same problems. United are not winning any second balls, number one. They're not winning any second balls, especially in midfield. And you look at all of the reasons why. I compare profiles, right? United, in the centre of the pitch, right? United have Mainu, McTominay and Bruno compared to Jensen, Yanel and Yarmolenko. Physically already, that Brentford midfield is just stronger anyway. Just better and stronger in terms of, you know, their athleticism and whatnot. So that's one issue there. So you're not going to win the second ball. So in the Premier League, everyone knows you don't win the second balls, you're pretty much dead for the most part. But then even when United do have the ball's not moving quick enough, right? The ball's not moving quick enough. Brentford can get back into their shape and just control the space. And the United are ponderous. And then the ball goes out wide and they eventually lose it. And then what can Brentford do? Brentford can hit the long ball to Ivan Toney. And then it's the same pattern, right? But then on top of that, if the game does go a bit basketball-y, a bit end-to-end, which United will probably thrive in a bit more, the other team's able to get a foothold in the game quicker because United don't have the tools, you know, in terms of the team to put out to actually, gain the upper hand, you know, gain the momentum. And it's a repeated cycle over and over again. It's always chaos for United. There's so much space in their midfield that I don't even know if Ten Hag can honestly say that he's earning his money every week, because you can't keep having the same problems over and over and over again. I think Tony's chance in the first half, right, where he hit the post, basically, it was one pass into midfield where there was no pressure on the left wing back. He's passed it, I don't know, 30 yards along the ground in the middle of the pitch, basically, to Wissa. Wissa's taken one touch into the space for Tony. Tony's through on goal, clearly one-on-one kind of thing. And those kind of chances happen for United almost every week. I saw a stat, basically. United average of 17 shots against a game, right? And in their last four games, does anybody have a wild guess to say how many shots?
Right, like 120, something like that.
It's over 100 shots that he faced in the last four games.
I'm going to give you a funny set to buttress your point. Brentford had 85 touches in the box. It became the third side on record since 08-09 to have 80-plus touches in the opposition box. United have faced 20-plus shots in their six of their past seven Premier League matches. Yeah. In fact, they've faced 20-plus shots in 11 different matches this season. Only Sheffield United have done that more at 12. Brentford had 31 shots. Their highest total in the Premier League match. What else is there? There's so many stats to read off of how bad it was today.
There's a crazy one, right? There's a crazy one. I think United faced 22 shots today in their own box.
Insane.
Put it like this. If you put up those stats, right, and you put Liverpool or Man City or Arsenal's names next to those stats, you'd think it was them that actually performed today and not Brentford. And I think that's the most worrying thing.
Coach, I have a question for you. What do you think, and be honest, I know you're an Arsenal fan, obviously. Going forward, and I've seen some United fans saying, obviously it's a structure, and luckily United have new owners now. They're getting in Dan Ashworth, Omar Berada, and then they're probably get some other guys in. Do you think United need a new coach, or do you think United need to recruit better? Or do you think it's a mixture of both?
Because I'll be honest with you, I think you always want to give a coach time, right? You always want to give a great time. And whether I like Ten Hag or not is irrelevant. I don't think he's the most charming. I don't think he's the most charismatic.
I mean, look at his post-game interview.
Yeah, I know. It's always the same rubbish. But I do think, without me sounding too I'm not being a prick, but I think you probably need to give him one more year just to make sure. Most people, and I personally, will probably get rid, but you really never know these things. He legit might turn it around in one crazy, even though I personally don't see it. I think United, just from them being responsible, if you like, pardon me, I think they probably have to give him probably at least until next January just to see if there's a semblance of whatever he's trying to do. Personally, I don't see it, but yeah, just thinking about what the owners may do, they're probably thinking we probably do need to, like, I knew he was going to come in right next season and they're going to be like, are we going to start again? No, we're going to see what we have here anyway.
You know, yeah, what I mean? But My thing is, and like, I don't know if I want to get rid. I don't know if I want to keep. I genuinely don't know. I'm leaving that to the decision makers. I look at the market right now as far as managers, right? You're going to have to take a risk. And like, I'm a batshit guy and I watch everything. The names I would suggest, people look at me like I'm crazy. Like, I like Thiago Mota from Bologna. I like Kieran McKenna from Ipswich Town. But it's just like, are these managers ready to be the coach of a team like this in the United States? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, when you think about the options in the market, Ruben Amorim, he's probably going to go to Liverpool. But it's just like, who else really generally is on the market that can, you know, and that's the hardest thing right now. It's like, who else is on the market? And I don't know. I fully 100% don't know. And that
name, I forgot his name. What's the name of the sporting coach?
Ruben Amorim.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably going to Liverpool.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, I've read something on him like a few months ago, and I was like, you know, I'd like to see him, maybe even if not in the Premier League, but maybe somewhere else, just to have a look. Fonseca as well at Lille. I don't feel like if Ineos are going to install someone new and they're going to go for, I suppose, something experimental, I don't feel like you could do a lot. You could do a lot worse than Fonseca, is basically what I'm saying. But this is just speculation. I personally think, and joke aside, I think you should probably keep Ten Hag for now. See what happens in the summer. But just based on what we've seen on the pitch and what the team is delivering, it's not good enough. It's simply not good enough. It's so far below the level required that it's even, put it like this, Tottenham and Aston Villa have had good seasons, right? They've had good seasons, but Tottenham have looked crap for a while now, and they're still ahead of United.
We've spoken about
Emery being a bottler or whatever, and he's what is it 11 points ahead of United now again or something like that? It's something crazy. So just looking at again the proof in the pudding, basically, there's so much happening at all these other clubs, and yeah, fuck me, it's 11 points. Oh my gosh. I just pulled out of the air,
That's your only one.
Yeah.
I told you I'm keeping your Dean today. That's your only one.
Yeah, I know. My bad. But yeah, like all these other clubs are having their own struggles, yet they seem to be miles above United.
You know what, man, honestly, and like I don't want to keep everybody here for too long because we all kind of know the issues United. It is what it is at this point. As a United fan, I'm generally disappointed, but at the same time, it's just like, what can you do? You know what? I try not to get myself too upset anymore. Like, there was times I would get pissed off, and I'm just like, look, at this point, United is in a transition phase. You know, they got a new owner. They got a new, you know, CEO, going to hire a new sporting director. They can figure it out with Newcastle. They're going to get some new guys in. I just generally feel like there's so much talent on the market right now. And there's so many players available for cheap, and United can figure it out in a couple seasons. I also don't like, and this is my last like rant of the day, I don't like the way United play with Rasmus Højlund. I feel bad for him. That is a very brilliant striker. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to generally play with that kid. There's a lot of long balls and they try to turn him into like a target man. He likes the ball into his feet. He likes to run into space, and they don't do that well for him. There's a lot of times where Bruno was just kicking it to him, just lumping up. You know, I just feel like United in the summertime need to take a step back and like, what do we want to be as a football club?
Yeah,
because there are lots of talent on the market. There's a lot of brilliantly talented players, and it's just like, who do you want to lead those players? You know, how do you want to play and how do you want to figure it out? And that is for people who have way more money than we do to figure that out. You know, at the end of the day, And you got to struggle sometimes with these managers and figure it out. So I don't know what they want to do. Personally, I'm over Ten Hag, but if they keep him, I won't be shocked. If they kick him out, I won't be shocked either. So,
yeah, I think it'll be. I could see him going. I could definitely see him going, but at the same time, I do think just because it's all still new for Ineos, I feel like they'd probably give him a chance. They'd give him at least half a season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If performances are still the same, you know, going into January, then they'll probably start looking at, you know, the succession plan. But yeah, it's just really strange that United keep playing this way. And without me sounding dramatic, right, and I've probably watched 97% of United's games this season, right?
Yeah.
In a 38 league game season, if United were to lose 32 of those games playing this way, nobody could be mad, basically, is what I'm saying. Because it just seems to be they're dominated against everybody. The other teams seem to have a better game plan. The other teams seem to have better solutions. And United's individual quality is just keeping them above water. It's not sustainable. Tons of United fans, I know, are absolutely frustrated. I know you're fed up. I know you're over it.
But, 100%.
You know, if we're going to offer some sort of, I suppose, positivity here, look, Mason Mount scored today.
And I was just about to say, like Mason Mount. I want to see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm not his biggest fan, but I feel like he's definitely a United player in terms of the decisiveness, where a team can be battering you and then someone like Mason Mount can provide that extra bit of quality out of nowhere kind of thing. And he seems to me to be a moments player, which United have a lot of. I really love Marcus Rashford, but you know, he's a huge moments player as well.
No, for sure.
Garnacho as well, you know. Antony, it's whatever. Hoyland, again, he's a striker, so that's their bread and butter. But you know, again, the captain, moments player as well. There's, you know, Mason Mount, I'd like to see him start for United relatively soon. Where he starts, I couldn't tell you. Is it in the front line on the right hand side to provide some sort of, you know, balance control? That could be a good shout, actually, to be fair. I don't think you want to play him in midfield because you already have Bruno. Probably play him on the right to offer some sort of balance for Rashford and Hoyland to run right. And when United don't have the ball, there's no reason why he can't tuck in a little bit.
Yeah.
To add that extra bit of, you know, solidity, because United don't have any off the ball. United are, to my mind, I think they're the easiest team to play against. Like, genuinely, you know, and make it so easy for the opposition.
You know, one thing, and I'm gonna say this before we leave. You know, I'm not sure if you remember the tweet where someone said you look easy to draw.
Oh, yeah,
that's what Man United are. They're easy to draw, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got anything else you want to add before we get out of here, man? Because I'm pretty much fed up of talking about my football club. You got anything else you want to add?
Yeah. We're back, man, and you know, things are, there's going to be a slight change in certain things, I suppose. Tossin holds the keys here. I officially now am, I suppose, handing the keys back to Tossin or to Tossin. But I'm always going to be here to try and offer analysis without giggling. But yeah, thank you guys in general.
And I'm also taking the mic off like I'm Nas in 1994.
But yeah, I've been Coach. You can find me at Lobrucci. And anyone that's still observing Ramadan, you know, keep there in this last 10 days.
Yeah,
we'll see you on the other side, man.
Peace to my Muslim brothers and sisters. Y'all be easy, we're out. I'm Tosin once again. I'm back. Y'all,
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain.